Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago without a live studio audience, but it's okay. It's a late night, Sunday night, well, early morning, Monday, recording of Monday Motivation. We have a fascinating, really fascinating podcast today for you for this week. I want to double click on last week's podcast. I think everyone who did not listen to it should listen to it. I think it's really important. I didn't advertise it and push it out there. It was a busy week. I was away. I'll explain why. It's a very important podcast because it explains really the Jewish approach to government and politics. Obviously, it cannot be an exhaustive one, but a very important one. And it points out the flaws in putting party over people, that we as Jews need to put peoplehood over party. That means that if someone's fighting anti-Semitism, we have to show gratitude even if we don't like them. That's okay. Zebra is both black and white simultaneously. We're big people. We can be nuanced. We can hold two ideas simultaneously. You cannot like a person and you can have gratitude for his actions when they help you and they're pro you. Okay. Anyway, it's a very important thing. And then also on the other side as well is not to rely on any human being to be our savior. We only rely on the Almighty. And so I recommend everyone, if you did not listen to it, it's really important because Jews now are, it's very critical how we approach the political process. There you go. Now, we are in the midst, actually, at the final bell of the World Zionist Organization elections. Boy, oh boy, lots have been spoken about this. The bottom line is that Olami has our slate, Am Yisrael Chai, slate 9. And I flew into New Jersey this past week, 3 days, to get out the vote campaign. And it was very powerful, literally a couple hundred rabbis, rabbitsons, etc., volunteers in the room, calling, texting, etc., to be able to get a piece of this pie for quality Jewish education. The World Zionist Organization is giving out $5 billion over the next 5 years, not all to North America, around the world. And I'm very proud of what Olami stands for, of quality Jewish education, inspiration, and Jewish growth. And that's really, if we're not growing, if we're not learning Torah, the next generation, you can have lots of slogans, never forget. The same people who's, who said, never forget the Holocaust, their children are now in the pro, not all of them, but some of them, without Torah, they'll end up in the encampments on campus, the anti-Israel ones. So not only did not forget, they ended up going to the other side. The only guarantee that that will not happen is a quality Jewish education. And that's what we stand for. All right. So it has been, we will see the results in the coming weeks, but super proud of the effort that the Olami team around America has made. Now, we begin our podcast with an absolutely fascinating Parsha, Torah portion of this past week, Tezriah Metzorah. And we will begin by explaining, and again, I will just tell you, this is another classic example of ideas that seem so bizarre and yet are so relevant. In fact, many times when you learn the Torah and the ideas seem so bizarre, most of the time, those are the ones that are most relevant to our lives. And that is our job. My job as a rabbi, to explain it, to translate what the symbolic language is and what does it mean, and just fasten your seatbelts. It's just going to be a lot of fun. So we have something in the Torah, in these past Torah portions, called Tzara'as. Tzara'as is mistranslated as leprosy. Leprosy is an actual physical condition, and Tzara'as is not a physical malady only. It is really a physical manifestation of a spiritual malady. So, for example, there are many sins for which one got saras. One of them is lashon hara. The main one is speaking ill of others. Later, we're going to see that it's also dealing with stinginess as well, for another example. But the main one that it's brought down is for lashon hara, for speaking ill of others, even if it's true. That's lashon hara. If it's not true, that's a higher level. That's called slander. That's called motzei shemra. And the result of speaking lashon hara would bring this tsaras. And not going through the whole concept of it, but one when we were in the desert, that someone who had tsaras had to be sent out to all the different levels of the camps. There were concentric circles, three concentric circles, basically, not circles, but areas in the encampment, in the Israel encampment in the desert. Someone at Tsaras had to go out of all of them. Why? It was measure for measure. They, through their words, marginalized their friends and pushed them away from others by making a bad reputation. So too, measure for measure, they needed to be marginalized and sent out of the camp. And that's the basic idea. Now, how did this tsaras appear? It was a three-stage process. The first stage is that it would appear on the walls of one's home. Now I know that we've been in homes, or if you're in the Midwest and you have basements, and there might be some mold in your basements. Okay, it would appear as a red and green mold on your walls. And then we're going to see what would happen. And then if they was not rectified, if the behavior did not improve, then it went on to one's clothing. And then if one still did not improve one's behavior, it actually went on to oneself, one's skin. And it's so what we're going to focus on in this podcast is the first one, is the home. So this is the first warning. So one is at home and sees this red, green splotch on the wall. And what happens? Then one calls a Kohen. The Kohen has to come and declare he is the expert in this area. And he, who is a symbol of humility, he is the one who comes and analyzes and determines what status the tsaras is. And again, they bring the Kohen, who's a symbol of humility, because again, one of the reasons why someone would speak Lashon Hara is because of their haughtiness. And the first week, so let's say Monday the Kohen comes and he says, okay, we have to analyze it. And it's going to be closed off, musgar in Hebrew, for a week. He comes back the next Monday and he says, oh no, it had spread. The person did not do teshuva, they did not repent, and it got even worse. So now it's a mukhlat, it's condemned. The house literally at this point needs to be destroyed. Can you imagine this? The house needs to be destroyed, and this is the Torah? What is going on? Jumping up and down. This is not fair. Why is this? Why do bad things happen to good people? Okay. And then Rashi tells us on the pasuk that it says, V'nesati negev tsaras. I gave them this affliction of tsaras. That what's going to happen? What is going to happen is that besurahi, says Rashi, it's a good thing. It's good tidings. He lahem. Why? Shehanagayim bayim aleihem. That these tsaras is going to be coming on them. Why? Lefi shehitminu amuraim. The Amorites had already hidden in the walls. Matmonio shel zahav, treasures of gold, bekiros batehem, in the walls of their houses, kol arba'im shana shayusir b'mer, all the 40 years that the Jews were wandering in the desert, these Amorite, these Canaanite nations were stashing gold in their walls. The agide hanega, notetz abayetz, and through the Tsaras, the house is going to be destroyed, Umotza on, and then he's going to find them. So normally one would not find this gold in the wall, but it's only because of the Neged Tsaras, because of the affliction of Tsaras, that he has to break down the home and you discover this gold, which leads to a huge question. And it's an obvious question. Why is this person who spoke Lashon Hara and didn't do tshuva, repent, during the week where he had the opportunity to do, he's being rewarded with gold in the walls? Maybe people then will learn, speak Lashon Hara, and get tsaras on your house, and then you'll find gold in the walls. The best get-rich-quick scheme in the world. Why is he being rewarded? Okay, so there are three answers that I would like to present to this fundamental question. The first two are brought by Rav Avigdor Miller of blessed memory. And the third one, Yibadol L'chaim Tovim Ruchim, Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky. So the first two, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, Venasati Negev Tsaras, I gave them, meaning I gave them a present. As Rashi says, I gave them good news. Okay, because why? A Yid would have lived there forever and not discovered it. It is actually the negayim, the affliction, that caused someone to discover this gold, if it weren't for that. And he says that this is a lesson in life. When we have difficult circumstances, God forbid, we know we pray for health, we pray for wealth, we pray for all good and sweet things. But when the difficulties of life come upon us, they are the pot of gold. Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem knows what he's doing. And therefore, sometimes if we look back at our own lives, you can imagine the most difficult things end up being the pathway to deeper self-awareness that take us on a path we may not have gone on normally, but ended with such blessing. And many times the bumps on the road define our greatness. I'll show you one personal story. I'm not sure if I've shared this before on the podcast, but it was my second year at Stanford. You know, my parents are listening now. They know exactly what I'm going to say. But I had a really nasty bike accident. I flipped over my front handlebars. Something got stuck in my front tire. I went flying. I had a whole backpack of pre-med books and literally slammed my left forehead into the cement. This is before cell phones. Miraculously, there was a guy who was like in a remote part of campus, and a guy came by who happened to be a lifeguard and who happened to have, you know, a ski cap and stop the bleeding and get me to the hospital. And 65 stitches later, when my dad came down and the doctor asked if I wanted to see it, I didn't. My dad said it looked like a gunshot. And that was it. That was a turning point of my life. That was, if you could look back at the call from the Almighty. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pretty, but that was the call. And so the pot of gold was behind the broken wall. And so too, we all have examples in our own lives. Okay, and I want to get on to the second explanation. Why should someone be rewarded for their sins? Okay, with this pot of gold. And Rav Avigdor Miller says the second answer, which is unbelievable. He says, because really they didn't always find a pot of gold. It didn't always lead to them. Didn't happen every time. It was something that could happen, but didn't necessarily happen. And so what is the pot of gold? The real pot of gold is the introspection. The introspection that led to people becoming better people. So he gives an example for the Gemara, the Talmud, and Erechin 16b. He says, Tsaras can sometimes come because someone's stingy. So someone, you know, Reuven comes over to Shimon and says, hey, Shimon, do you have an axe I could borrow? Do you have a lawnmower I could borrow? Shimon's like, no, sorry, I don't have an axe. Don't have a lawnmower. Sorry, don't have it. So what happens? One of the halachas, one of the Jewish laws of the house is that you, before the Kohen finally declares it, that it needs to be destroyed, you remove all of your furniture. That is one of the kindnesses that the Torah does. You're allowed to keep your furniture because everything in a Mukhlat, a declared house for destruction, has to be destroyed as well. So they let you move your furniture out. So now what happens? He moves his furniture out. What do they see? He's got 10 axes. He's got 20 lawnmowers. And his neighbors are like, hey, what's going on? We asked you for your axe, your lawnmower. What's going on? Why? And the embarrassment that he feels. And Rav Avigdor Moshe says, better that he feel the embarrassment in this world than in the next world. And that is the true pot of gold. The true pot of gold is the introspection, is the real gold of your self-improvement. Pirkei Avos says an unbelievable thing. You know, in the expression in English is, you can't take it with you. That came from us. Pirkei Avos in chapter 6. Mishnah 9 says, "Bishas patira social adam," and at the moment that a person dies, "Ein malavin lo lo kesef," money does not escort him in the next world. "Velo zahav," and not gold. "Ela Torah o masim tovim," but just Torah and masim tovim and good deeds. That is what is going to escort us to the next world. And so this guy who's stingy, not lending out his articles of whatever productivity, he's going to face the embarrassment in this world in order for him to wake up to change who he is. And that is the real pot of gold that's worth much more than the physical pot of gold. Okay, and the Rav Avigdor Miller continues. He says we don't need our house to collapse, God forbid. But we are being sent messages all day long, all day long. And if we just tune into them, when a little thing happens here, a little thing happens there, why did it happen? We as Jews, we take responsibility for negative things happen to us. We don't blame others. We think, wow, God runs the world. Maybe he's sending me a message. What possibly could it be? And we may not nail it for sure what it was meant to be, but the process of introspection is the true gold. Okay, and that is the second answer. Now, the third answer to this question of why is this person who spoke Lashon Hara and is quote-unquote rewarded with a pot of gold is unbelievable. It hit me through between the eyes, and it's really the reason why I wanted to do this podcast on this topic. And he says an unbelievable thing, and he starts with a story. This is Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky. He says there's a story, and this is a very well-known story as well, Rabbi Lazer Silver, and he tried to do his best to rescue, and he rescued hundreds, if not more, of Jewish children in monasteries and convents and churches during World War II. The rabbi from Cincinnati, believe it or not, he was the quote-unquote chief rabbi of America, self-proclaimed. And there was a fascinating story. So he was working after the war, and he was giving out Sidurim prayer books to people who had been through the Holocaust. And there was one Jew who said, "Rabbi, I do not want to take a sitter. I do not believe in God. I don't believe in Judaism. The whole thing is over." Now, Rav Lazer Silver, other people might have said, "Oh, okay, I understand why, whatever." Rav Lazer Silver asked him, "So what's the problem? What happened?" He said, "I saw there was one Jew who had a sitter, and he would exploit everyone with their food ration. In order to use the sitter, you would have to give your entire food ration. You only got one portion today. You have to give that to him in order to use the sitter. And therefore, if someone could be so awful, therefore, I don't want anything to do with this people or anything to do with this religion." And then Rav Lazer Silver said famously to this man, he asked him, "How many people gave up their food ration to use the sitter?" And he said, "Far too many. It was a constant line of people." And he said to him, "Why are you looking at the one bad Jew who exploited his sitter? Why don't you look at all the Jews who lined up, who were willing to give up their food ration to pray?" And this story is the perfect analogy. You know, when you look at the house, you see a dusty Canaanite wall, but inside is gold. The Torah is telling you so too, how you look at people. You look at people in an external, superficial way, but inside of them is gold. This whole Torah portion is teaching us to look deeper. Don't settle for a superficial view of other people. And even if they're annoying, and even if you may not like them, and I deal with Kirov, I deal with people all day, pretty much every day, there are many people not easy to deal with, but if you look deeper inside, that's what this Torah portion is challenging us to do. People cannot be judged like a dusty Canaanite wall. They have gold in them. And that was why. That was the live demonstration of the lesson to this Jew who spoke Lashon Hara and needed to have his house destroyed. This is how you need to start looking at other people. They have gold inside of them. Wow, what an explanation. So I want to finish off with really just an exhortation. You know, the Jewish people now, we have so many different opinions. We always have different opinions. Maybe it's time for us to look a little bit more inside to the gold within other people. Maybe before we judge them, maybe before we write them off, be it family, be it friends, be it anyone. Let's find the gold in each other. And God willing, with that new perspective, we will greet soon in our days, Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera v'imenu, God willing, with the coming of the Messiah speedily in our days. Have an amazing day, an amazing week. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.